translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: but those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Purport: it is explicitly stated here that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from material existence by the Lord. In pure devotional service, one comes to the realization that God is great and that the individual soul is subordinate to Him. His duty is to render service to the Lord, and if he does not, then he will render service to Maya. As stated before, the Supreme Lord can be appreciated only by devotional service. Therefore, one should be fully devoted. One should fix his mind fully on Krishna in order to achieve him. One should work only for Krishna. It does not matter in what kind of work one engages, but that work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His life's mission is to please Krishna, and he can sacrifice everything for Krishna's satisfaction, just as Arjun did in the battle of Kurukshetra. The process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Such transcendental chanting attracts the devotee to the personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord herein promises that without delay, He will deliver a pure devotee. Thus, engaged from the ocean of material existence, those who are advanced in yoga practice can willfully transfer the soul to whatever planet they like by yoga process, and others take the opportunity in various ways. But as far as the devotee is concerned, it is clearly stated here that the Lord Himself takes him. The devotee does not need to wait to become very experienced in order to transfer himself to the spiritual sky. In the Varaha Puran, this verse appears: Nayami paramam sthanam archir adi gatim vina. Garuda skandham aropya yathecham ani varitah. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord Himself. He clearly states that here that He Himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by His great mercy, comes at once, riding on His bird carrier Garuda, and at once delivers the devotee from material existence. Although a man who has fallen in the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from the material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. Any intelligent man should always prefer the process of devotional service to all other paths. In Narayaniya, this is confirmed as follows: Yave sadhana sampatti purushartha chatustaye taya vina tad apnoti naro narayana ashraya. The purport of this verse is that one should not engage in different processes of fruitive activity or cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. One who is devoted to the Supreme Personality can attain all the benefits derived from other yogic processes, speculations, rituals, sacrifices, charities, etc. That is the specific benediction of devotional service. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. A devotee of the Lord can approach the supreme destination easily and happily. But this destination cannot be approached by any other process of religion. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is stated in the 18th chapter. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. One should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. There is no need for one to consider the sinful actions of his past life, because the Supreme Lord fully takes charge of him. Therefore, one should not futilely try to deliver himself in a spiritual realization. Let everyone take shelter of the Supreme Omnipotent Godhead, Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life. So, seeking the blessing of all the Vaishnavas and all the guests assembled here, before I attempt to speak, Hare Krishna. So here, Krishna is very, very clearly giving a promise that those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Now, what is the context of this verse? Is in the 11th chapter, Krishna shows his universal form to Arjun, and Arjun becomes very fearful seeing that form. And then Arjun requests Krishna that, please show me your 400 Vishnu form. And then Krishna changes his form to 400 Vishnu form. And then Krishna shows his form, the original form of two-handed Krishna. And he says that this form is the rare of the rarest. And to realize this form and the glories of this form is the ultimate realization. And only by devotional service it is possible. And then Krishna says to Arjun that you should engage in my devotional service by all your mind, word and activities. You should make me your ultimate goal. Having heard that, Arjun asks that there are many people who are attached to impersonal Brahman effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti, and there are many who are attached to your form. As far as I am concerned, I am very much attached to your form. So what is my position? Everybody would like to know what is their position, isn't it? So Arjun is also asking like that. As far as I am concerned, I am very much attached to your form. So please tell me, is it okay? And Krishna answers that as far as the impersonal form of the Lord is concerned, the effulgence coming out from the body of the Lord, if somebody is attached to that and makes that as the ultimate goal, for him, To reach the perfection is very, very difficult. It may take millions and millions of life. Why? Because it is all based on piety. The more a person becomes pious, the more he does punya, what happens? His existence becomes more and more refined. The more sinful activities are there, the existence becomes gross. So we can see different living entities are there. Some have very gross existence, like the trees. They are so gross that for thousands and thousands of years, people were thinking that they don't have life only. They're so gross. And after, of course, the Shastras always said that they have life, but people in general never knew that they have life. So gross an existence. But then there are higher and higher forms of life based on piety. Human beings also, there are many, many different types of human beings based on piety. And of course, as the existence is more pious, the more clear is the thought process, more refined is the existence, more refined is the behavior, more refined are the words. But this refinement and this process of gaining more and more piety is a very long path. It takes a lot of time. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that one who becomes very, very pious, he performs his duties very, very nicely. He can take bigger and bigger responsibilities. And over a period of time, because of his being so duty-bound, taking such nice responsibilities, he gets transcendental knowledge. And then, after getting that knowledge, he slowly, slowly develops, knows the truth, and then he starts meditating on the form of the Lord. And after meditating on the form of the Lord, slowly, slowly he starts developing finer sentiments for the Lord. And thus, slowly, slowly he comes to the platform of devotional service. It's a very, very long path. It's staircases. And one cannot jump from one to another. It's such a slow process. And one has to be at each and every step. And thus, go to the ultimate devotional service. It's a very, very slow process. But Krishna says there is another process, which is like a lift. You don't have to go by staircases. You just enter in the lift. Whichever floor we may be, we can just enter into the lift. And we don't need to worry that so much sin is there. I have to purify myself. I have to raise myself up. Then only then I can reach the ultimate. No, no requirement. Just get into the lift. Whatever we are. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse. Akamo sarvakamo va moksha kama udarathi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That is, if we are akam, we have no material desire, or sarvakamo va, all material desires are there. Moksha kama, or we have the desire to get liberation. Udarathi, or we are already a very, very kind, liberated soul. Udarathi. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki jai. Shri Shri Lalita Vikashaka Devi ki jai. Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal ji ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ji ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, one does not need to purify himself. Directly, whatever he is, he can take to devotional service at once. He does not need to go through step by step karma, jnana, dhyana, like that. He can just come to bhakti, the lift, and he enters in the lift and lift takes him up. So that is tivrena bhakti yogena. We are, so many times we just go on dwindle in the thoughts that I am very great, or I am not great, or I am not very great, or I am very normal, or I am abnormal, or I am this, or I am that. Every time this thought dwells in the mind, always we are thinking of ourselves. But here this verse says, akamo sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi, whatever we are, tivrena bhakti yogena, that is what matters. That are we engaged in pure devotional service? If we are engaged in pure devotional service, if we are in the lift will automatically take us up. We may not be pure devotees, but we can take to pure devotional service. And once we take to pure devotional service, it will take up. So Prabhupada writes, one need not be a very experienced devotee to get the ultimate blessings of the Lord. One could be just following pure devotional service, that's it. Faithfully. He will go up. This is a lift which goes up. So, when Arjun asked this, so Krishna says that, Arjuna asked that, what is my position? Those, there are many who are attached to Brahman effulgence. And there, but I am attached to your form. So what is my position? What is my situation? So Krishna says, those who take to the path of this impersonal Brahman effulgence, this is a very, very slow path. It takes a lot of time, lot of endeavor, very tedious. And there are a lot of chances of falling down. But here, in this process of devotional service, it's a lift. Sure shot, it goes up. So, Krishna says, one should do devotional service. And we will see in the following verses, Krishna says, completely get attached to me, always think of me, completely be dedicated to me. But if you can't be like that, no problem. Do sadhana bhakti. Take the process of devotional service and slowly, slowly purify yourself. And you will ultimately get what the other perfected beings are getting. And if not that, if you can't do that, okay. Engage some in your activities. You try to help those who are devotees of the Lord or work for the Lord directly. Whatever we earn, we can give to the mission of the Lord. So some way he is saying get attached to the process, the mainstream of devotional service. If not directly, then indirectly, no problem. But devotional service is so powerful, even if one gets a little but connected, he gets a lot of benefit. And that's why Krishna is saying, somehow or other get connected. And then, in the later part of the first part, he is saying in 12th chapter, that how one should get connected somehow or other. And second part he says, those who get connected, how dear they are to me. What are their qualities and how they are dear to me. So this is the context of this verse. So one should somehow or other render some devotional service. And if one does not do devotional service, if one does not do service to the Lord, then he serves his own senses. Then he serves Maya. Serving own senses means what? Senses are such hard taskmasters. When we are young, the senses demand a lot, and we are thinking that we are enjoying. Actually, we are just serving the senses. So, we are serving the senses, and the senses become more hard taskmasters. As the age grows, our ability to serve the senses goes down and down and down. But the senses go on demanding. And when they demand, and we can't fulfill their demands, then we become more and more helpless, more and more weak. And the more we have enjoyed in our youth, the more we suffer in the old age. That's how it happens. And in the old age, the senses do not cooperate, but the mind has all the desires. And it is so painful. And that's why this temporary enjoyments or serving Maya or serving the senses is very painful. Prabhupada starts the purport by saying that a devotee realizes that he is soul and Krishna is God, Krishna is great, and he is subordinate to Krishna and he is to serve Krishna. So in this regard, why serve Krishna? Because he is master. And why we should serve? Because we are servant. And what is the purpose of this service? Just service. So that Krishna becomes happy. Simple. That's the purpose. In this context, Srila Prabhupada would say one story. There was a man, English man, who used to live in Calcutta. And this English man, once he came back after a lot of hunting and sporting, and he was very tired. He just left his shoes outside his house and went inside. And he just just crushed down, like just collapsed on the bed. He was so tired. His whole pant, shirt and his shoes all were muddy. And he went and he slept. And after some time he got up and he came out of the room. And then he saw both of his shoes were shining. Black shoes. They were completely muddy. And now he saw that both the shoes are shining like anything. So he became completely bewildered. Who polished it? I don't know anybody here. Who can possibly do it? And he was searching, searching, searching. And then eventually, he asked one person who used to stay a little off his house. And he went to him and he said, "You polished the shoe?" He became a little fearful. He said, "Yes." "Why did you polish the shoes?" He said, "Simply I wanted to see you happy." He said, no, you must be wanting something in return." He said, "No, I don't want to get anything out of it. I just want to serve you and I want to see you happy." And this man, he was quite a big authoritarian in British rule. Very authoritative person. But when he saw such a selfless attitude of this poor Indian, his heart melted. And after that, he never harassed any Indian. For his whole life, he was a very, very well-wisher of all Indians. So Indians have this culture. That is, they just serve. They just want to see you happy. That's it. You are happy, their purpose is solved. So, devotional service has to be rendered like that. I just want to see a smile at the face of the devotees. I just want to see a smile at the face of Krishna. That's it. That's done. That's done. That brings so much happiness. And this is such a glorious position. But if we don't do this, what do? We serve our own senses. And what is the result? We can see some examples around. Like service to the tongue. What it results? Fish wants to satisfy his tongue. And he sees something very small, lumpy thing in the water. And thinks it will satisfy me. And goes to eat that lump and gets hooked, gets caught. That urge to satisfy the tongue costs his life. And touch. So many of us want to have nice silky touch of the bed sheet or a nice silky cloth and something like that. But we see how this sense of touch could be a trap. How the he elephant is caught, you know? The he elephant, to catch that he elephant, the hunter sends a she elephant. And the hunter digs a big well, dry well, and covers that well with husk and dry leaves and all that. And he trains the she elephant to guide the he elephant somehow or other to come near the ditch. So the she elephant goes near the he elephant and rubs her body with him. And slowly, slowly, like that, guides to the ditch. And thus the he elephant falls in the ditch and he is caught. So it costs his whole independence, just the sense of touch. And the eyes, we all want to see beautiful things. And the live example is a moth. That moth, when he sees dazzling fire, just cannot control itself. Just goes and loses its life. Thinks it is enjoyment. So many beautiful things we see and we get attracted. But all that glitters is not gold. We just go thinking it to be gold and we get trapped. And then the ears. We want to listen to nice music or nice things, nice voices. And so is the deer. Deer is very attached to flute. So the hunter plays the flute. Very nice flute. And the deers, they run, 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 run. To find out what is the source of this flute. And thus they are trapped by the hunter. And then the smell. So much. There is a good market for perfumes. Because everybody wants to smell nicely. And room fresheners and so many things. But we see that it could be also trapped. Bumblebee is very much attached to the fragrance of the lotus. It comes to the lotus, sits there, and is taking the juice, sucking and smelling, smelling, and forgets that evening is coming. When the evening comes, the lotus closes, and the bumblebee gets entrapped in it, and thus loses its life. So we see that all these senses whose service is so dear to us, is so palatable. We enjoy the service through the senses so much, but they all could be such big traps for us. So service to Krishna, what it does? We see those who serve Krishna, those who serve the deities, those who serve the devotees, as their age grows, they become more and more effulgent. They become more and more peaceful. They become more and more bright. When they reach higher ages, 60, 70, 80, they look so beautiful. Their face glows like anything. But those who have given their lives to the senses, as the age grows, they look more and more faded. Faded, faded. They may put on nice red t-shirt and blue jeans at the age of 50, but how they look? Once I asked one of my friends that, how do you appreciate the beauty of an old man who has put up all this type of clothes? And he gave a comment which was really, really difficult for me to quote, but quite, I couldn't check myself. He said, circus ka retired bandar dikhta hai. It doesn't really suit because the whole glow has gone, whole strength has gone, the memory, the intellect, nothing is standing with him. Just trying to pose that, oh, I am okay. So, that's the point, that if a person serves the Lord, he automatically becomes growing all the time, glowing all the time. It's very natural for him. So that's why here Srila Prabhupada starts the purport saying that one should serve the Lord. If he doesn't serve the Lord, then what he does? He serves Maya. And we see that here in this verse, the Lord says, Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. He says, Tesham Aham Samuddharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. I deliver my devotee from the horrible material existence. And he says, Mrityu Sagar. This world is often called Bhava Sagar. So, what does it mean? What does it mean, Bhava Sagar or Mrityu Sagar? Why this world is called Bhava Sagar or Mrityu Sagar? Because here, death is inevitable. And there are two types of destructions. One is Nitya Pralaya and one is Naimittik Pralaya. Nitya Pralaya means always we are dying. The moment a child takes birth, he starts dying. The cells in his body start dying and he is aging. And that's why it is asked, how old are you? Nobody says, how young are you? How old are you? Because how much life has already gone? How much already we have died? So, death is always happening. That is Nitya Pralaya. And then Naimittik Pralaya. There are particular times when we die. At the end of the life, proper duration is gone, then we die. or at a time of dissolution when half of the planets of this universe are submerged in water after one manvantar, then everybody dies, or when the whole universe is dissolved. So they are naimittik pralayas. So this world, always death is happening. And death, what it is? It is described in the Shastras. It is, at the time of death, a person gets a pain which is equivalent to the biting of 40,000 scorpions together. Now, we have, many of us are never stung by a scorpion, one scorpion even. So, you know, we can't imagine what is 40,000 scorpions biting together. So, recently one devotee was giving class, I don't remember exactly. He was saying, it is something like our fingers are put at the edge of a door and the door is banged repeatedly many, many times. It is that pain. This body is like our home. We have accepted this like a home. We are residing in this home. We are so attached to this, we can't even imagine that we will ever leave this home. But death is a time when we are forced to leave this home. Sometimes we are not willing to leave the home. Sometimes something happens and the whole home is at fire. It burns and we see it burning in front of us. What is the condition? When a person sees his own home burning in front of him, that is death. He's seeing his own body. He cannot enter inside the body. He sees everybody is carrying the body to burn it. He sees the body is burning. He has spent all his life decorating this body. He has worked so hard, hours and hours, just to take care of this body. And now he is seeing his own body burning in front of him. What happens? The analogy, very clear, very near analogy would be our own home burning in front of us. That home for which we could have taken a loan, which we paid for 30 years of our service, every year EMI of 1.25 lakh we were paying, and after 30 years we paid all the loan, and after that this home was ours. We understood, yes, this is our home, and we beautified it. The moment we entered in the home, we had changed the marble. And after that, the son and daughter came and they didn't like the marble. They changed the floor of the marble. They changed so many doors and windows. So many changes, so many decorations. In the posh locality, that home was there. Anybody, any guest came, they glorified the home. And now we are seeing that same home burning in front of us. That is death. It is very fine for those who say, for me, ek life to hai, maja kar lene ka, baad mein sab khatam. Theek hai, maja kar lene ka. Lekin baad mein jab home ye jalega na samne, that is the truth. You believe or you don't believe. Truth doesn't change. This is death. And then, what is birth? Birth, the child is in the womb of the mother, and it is like a bag. So one may say, okay, so what? He's unconscious. He doesn't know what is happening. He has to pass and eat the same urine, blood, stool of this mother, everything recycled. He's in a precarious condition in a bag. So one may say, okay, he's unconscious, so what is the problem? No. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, that in the 7th month, he gets the consciousness. And he can understand what is going on with him. Not just that. He can remember, he is given remembrance by the Lord of his all previous lives. Not all his previous lives, but also his life in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha planets. He can remember how he was in the spiritual world enjoying with the Lord. He can remember how he came in this world and he was Brahma, he was Indra. He was a king, he was a minister, he was a director, how he was enjoying. And he has enjoyed like animals or human beings or demigods. He remembers all that. And now he is helplessly packed in a bag. Now just imagine for us, if we have to travel in a general bogey for one day, how it appeals. General bogey, just one place on an upper berth, just somehow or other we have squeezed and our bag is in our lap and we are traveling. One day, 24 hour journey. How precarious it is. To get a reservation in the train, people start planning 4 months back and at least 3 months back they book the ticket. So important is that 24 hour journey. And here, if we have to travel that 24 hour journey in a general bogey, it is so horrible. Nobody wants that. But here, the same person is in a bag for one day, for 24 hours. If the person has to travel in that general bogey for 1 month, what will happen? And if he has to travel in that bogey for 9 months, what will happen? At least from 7 months to 9 months, he knows. So 2 months, solid journey in that general bogey. What will happen? And what will happen if he remembers I am a person like Tata Birla? He will be like the most frustrated person. He will say, my God, kahan phas gaya main? And here, in the womb, God is giving him the remembrance. Not that he is just Tata Birla of this material world. He is from the spiritual world. He can remember his glorious life in the spiritual world. So here, he pitiably cries. And it is said in, it is written in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the child in the womb is crying, oh Lord, please help me out. Please take me out from this womb. Once I come out, I will serve you. I will never leave your service. And finally, he is delivered from the womb. So father and mother are supposed to know what was the condition of the child in the womb. So, the moment the child is born, immediately the coverings of this material world covers his intelligence and he forgets what was his condition in the womb. And the father and mother give nice pat, nice care, and the child thinks, oh, I'm a baby, and acts in hundreds of boyish ways or baby ways. And then, I'm a youth, and then I'm earning nice, oh, I'm a husband. And like that, again, the whole life goes off. That's why it is so important for the father and mother to train the child to be remembering what he has promised to the Lord. He will do service to the Lord. If not father and mother, at least the guru. They are supposed to train the child. And that's why the education starts saying, Tamaso ma jyotirgamay. Don't go by the illusory ways of life. Go by jyoti. Go by the knowledge. Asatoma sadgamay. Don't go by the temporary. Go by the eternal truths of life. So, guru's work is to enlighten. Otherwise, the friends. Otherwise, by the relatives. Or by anyone. Anyone in the society. Their duty is somehow or other, or the king, somehow or other, or any leader. Somehow or other, remind, see, you have promised in the womb that you will serve the Lord. And not so direct maybe, because at times people have gone so rebellious they will not listen. So at least to start somewhere. So is. So, birth is so horrible. And then, disease. Disease could be so horrible. And if you want to just get a glimpse of it, we can just go to any hospital's emergency ward and see what happens. People are crying, screaming, somebody's leg is hanged, somebody's hand is hanged, somebody's whole neck is hanged. And also plasters all over the body. What type of sufferings are this? Now these are just accidents. There are diseases. If we go to Tata Memorial Hospital, it's so horrible to see somebody's this portion has come out, somebody's this portion has come out, somebody's nose has gone down, somebody's whole throat is black after radiation. If after seeing so many such cases in Tata Memorial Hospital, one starts feeling, if he sees a normal person, he says, isme bhi kuch garbad hoga. It is, he becomes so zapped by that experience. So painful is this cancer. And similarly, so many other diseases. I went for a particular person. He had cancer. And I would tell you how he got the cancer. He got the cancer because he had a habit of eating 40 palms every day. 40 palms every day. And he got the cancer when he was exactly 40. And now he was a responsible man. He had 4 sisters, 2 brothers younger to him. No father, mother too simple. He was taking care of the whole family. When he got cancer, he was begging to Allah. He was Muslim. He was begging to Allah, please Allah, give me 4 months life. I will finish off my all responsibilities and then I die. No problem. But just see, he was attached to his tongue. Give that experience of pan to the tongue. Somehow or other, when he was found, when the doctors diagnosed him, found the cancer has grown too much. He had the lung cancer. It had grown so much that they said that if we operate, he will die. And in one operation, we cannot do the whole thing. It will be part by part. So, and his body does not have so much strength to endure that operation. So, better, he goes home, takes chemotherapy, and they give 3 chemotherapies. And then, when he gets some strength, chemotherapy has already subsided the cancer somewhat, then he comes back, then we operate. So that was the plan. So he was sent to Bihar, back, and there he was in his home. He got 3 chemotherapies, one after another, and his condition was improving. So in the meanwhile, from Bombay, I went to my home and I went to visit him to see how is his condition. And I saw that he is, now in Bombay, his one operation was done. And what happened, this portion, his throat was removed because his throat was completely jammed. So now he had to eat from a hole which was made in the stomach. And one hole was made here from which he would breathe. So whole mouth was of no use now because there was no throat. And so he would not eat anything because there is no neck only inside. So when I went to visit him, I saw he is chewing ganna. I said, what he is doing? So his tongue is no more functioning only. So why he is chewing ganna? So his sister said, actually he is giving some experience to the tongue. Tongue wants to get some satisfaction of the ganna juice or whatever sabzis we make. He wants to have some taste for that. So we give. And then I saw that there were 2 holes made, one for coughing and one was for breathing. So whatever was for coughing, from that hole, all ganna juice was coming out. And all sabzi juice and all those things would come out. Now, this was not the end. This was good enough. Time to time, ditching all his family members, he would escape, taking a rickshaw, go to the favorite panwala shop and again have pan. What a pitiable condition. That hard the taskmaster these senses are. Even the hardest taskmaster of this world will give some retirement at some time. Or if somebody is so sick, ill health retirement is there. And the pension starts immediately. You don't have to work. But this senses, no retirement, no ill health retirement. Always demanding and always the person has to work. That is illusion. Here, this is such a soundproof example. And we have already so he is the disease, and then old age. Old age is so horrible. None of the senses are helping. Mind is not cooperating. Intelligence is not cooperating. All the desires are there to enjoy. The person becomes so pained when he sees his all near and dear enjoying, all surroundings enjoying, he can't enjoy. And all are waiting when he will die. What a condition. And he is dumped at a corner of the house. How painful is this material existence? And who all of us are free from this? And then the three other miseries are there, which also manifest in these forms. That is adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik. Misery is given by our own mind and body. Body is, we have already seen, but the mind, so much attachment is there. If somebody is, if our father, mother, or any near and dear, they get any pain, we are pained. Or so many things which do not meet our expectations, we are so much pained. So adhyatmik, adhibhautik, so many other living entities are there. They always trouble us. So many mosquitoes biting, or khatmal, bed bugs, they are biting. Or so many scorpions or a snake, or so many dangerous animals are there. They always the trouble is there. And then, adhi, daivik, earthquake, cyclones, volcanoes, so many such. Who all of us are free from it? Or flood, or drought. And the more the Kali Yuga is increasing, more the effects of these are so obvious, so clear. Is it not a ocean of miseries? Is it not? It is just that right now we may not be in facing it. And so there may be some relief. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and even Bhagavatam says, that the comforts, the relief of this material world is like a criminal who is time and again put in the water and taken out of the water. Put in the water and taken out of the water. When he is taken out of the water, he is saying, oh, so much relief, so nice. It is foolish. He doesn't know again he will be put down. And that is what our lives are in this material world. Don't we need a relief from this? And how much ever we endeavor, invariably we slip off, we go down. Don't we need a helping hand who takes us out? And here, Krishna is promising, Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsar sagarat. I am the swift deliverer. It is not that, you know, in trying to deliver, he will kill us. Not that type of deliverer. Swift deliverer. Maje se nikalte hame. He has so much strength. He comfortably takes it out. Only what we have to do is, we have to just serve. And it is not that he needs our service. We need to serve because that is our nature. When we do that, we are fixed up by our nature. The Lord's nature is to serve those who are serving him. He becomes servants of the servant. That's how it is. So, here Lord is promising that I will deliver him from the ocean of material existence. And we all need that. Lord has promised earlier, many times, many, many things. And we see that how much we need those promises. In the very beginning, Krishna says, Neha bhikramanashwasti pratyuvayona vidyate swalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That is, if you do little devotional service, it can save us from the most horrible of all dangers. Going to hell or taking lower forms of life or anything like that. All horrible things we can be saved by little devotional service. One promise. And then he comes further promising us when he says that అనన్యాశ్చింతయంతో మాం యే జనా పర్యుపాసతే తేషాం నిత్యాభియుక్తానాం యోగక్షేమం వహామ్యహం. Those who are constantly engaged in my service, to such always engaged ones, I give what they lack and I protect what they have. Again he makes promise. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly endeavoring to render loving devotional service unto me, I give them that intelligence by which they come to me. So much help Lord is always promising. And how that promise is. What happens a person who accepts that promise? This promise should be accepted. Why? Because Krishna is achyuta. Krishna never fails in standing by the promise he has made. That's why he is called achyuta, infallible. He will never fail in giving protection to those who are taking his shelter. And what is that shelter? There was a competition made in a kingdom. The king had invited paintings of different people. So different people had made different paintings. But one painting the king selected as the first. What was there in that painting? There was a massive cyclone sight was there in that painting. And in the top of a tree, there was a small bird sitting. And the bird was singing very melodiously, without any problem. Is it really possible in this world? Is it possible? Not possible. This world is super cyclone going on. That is acceptable? When you go from here to Chandivali village for your job, you go to Andheri station, then you jump into the local bus, and then you go. It's really difficult. So definitely every day a person reaches office, he says, "Pahunch gaya." It's so difficult. So definitely again coming back. And every day some problem is there in the train or in the bus or this, that. Every day it's a big struggle. So definitely it's like a super cyclone going on. So can we be in like that bird? Is it possible? Just 2 years back, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he gave an example. Not example. He said what he saw in Haridwar, in Mother Ganges. There, the wave, the current of Mother Ganges at Haridwar is very strong, very turbulent. Big elephants can be easily washed away by those currents. But right there in those currents, there are small tiny fishes. Not only those fishes live there, but they breed. They raise their whole family. And they live there generation after generation. Why? Because they have learned the art of taking shelter. In this whole world, always, whatever trying situations may be, there are always some loopholes which God has created. One does not need to be very powerful to be saved from this super cyclone of material existence. One just needs to know how to take shelter. Here, this tiny fish has learned the art of taking shelter. And that's why, though this current washes away big elephants, this tiny little living entity can live generation after generation. And similarly are the devotees. A devotee may be facing the super cyclone of material existence. Something happening in the family, something happening in his job, something happening with his own health, something happening with his bank balance. But Krishna says in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to all the prachetas, that is, I situated in the heart of my devotees, give such tremendous happiness to him, He himself is confused why he is so happy. Yeah, that's the truth. He just does not know, in my situation, so many living entities have already washed away. So many people have given up their hopes. So many people have become depressed and mad. But I am so happy. Why I am so happy? The devotee does not know. He is himself bewildered. Why I am so happy? Here Krishna is giving in the fourth canto the clue. My eye situated in the heart of the devotee gives so much happiness to him. He himself does not know why he is so happy. Krishna, in the form of giving so many miseries externally, invokes the blissful nature of the soul. So externally he looks to be in a whirlpool, but internally he is in a bliss. That's the secret of taking shelter. And in trying to take shelter, there is no problem. There would be problem because we are conditioned. Time to time some conditioning may come up. Or why may come up? Will definitely come up. And many, many times we will take shelter of the guidance and we will be through. But many, many times because of our conditioned nature we may not take guidance and then we will slip. Then what? Now Krishna gives again a promise. Bhagavad Gita is full of promises, full of hopes. But this promise, Krishna says, Arjun to declare. He says, all the promises I have declared, but this promise, Arjun, you declare because you are so dear to me. If you declare something, I will never break it. And I can break my promise, but I will never break your promise. And this promise, all of us need the most. And what is that promise? Krishna says, अपि चेत सुदुराचारो भजते मामनन्य भाक साधुर एव समन्तव्य सम्यक व्यवसितो असी सह. He says, अपि चेत सुदुराचारो, even if my devotee does the most abominable of all activities, भजते माम अनन्य भाक, if he is still engaged in my pure devotional service, sadhur eva samantavya, he should be considered sadhu only. Sadhur eva, not sadhu like, not sadhu eva, sadhu eva. He should be considered sadhu only. Samyak vivasito asisaha. Why? Because he is completely well situated. Now, this verse has many, many portions, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains it in terms of question answers. He says, Krishna, what is this? What type of devotee is he if he is doing the most abominable of all activities? And Krishna says, he is definitely not a pure devotee because pure devotees don't do that. But in the purificatory process, one, because of his conditionings, may fall down and may do all these things. But because he is doing devotional service, he is well situated. Then Arjun again asks question. But what is this? He is doing most abominable of all activities. How can you consider saintly? How can you consider him saintly? Then Krishna responds back. Though externally acting in a sinful way, the devotee inside his heart has all the righteousness well situated. He is internally completely well protected. All the knowledge is there in his heart. All the understandings are there in his heart. And while doing the sinful activity, he is not enjoying like others. He is in fact lamenting and saying, alas, alas, alas. I am the most sinful of all devotees. I am in fact a black spot at the name of devotees. There is no more fallen than me. And thinking like this, lamenting like this, he becomes purified. And soon he becomes completely purified and a pure devotee. So there is no harm. Then Arjun again asks the question. But what people will think that he was a devotee and he is acting like this? What people will think? What answer will you give to the people in general? Then Krishna says to Arjun, Arjun, take mridangas, take kartals and declare to the whole world, my devotee never perishes. I protect my devotees. Then again Arjun asks, but what people in general will say? Then Krishna says, if you declare like this, people will accept you as guru. Because everyone wants this hope. When they listen about devotional service, they will say, my God, roj solamala jap, roj charniyam palan, ye to bahut difficult hai, gir gaya to kaun life bhar karega? No, we just have to start. And then Krishna takes care of us. Even if we fall, Krishna will always pick us up. We may slip, we will never fall. And that hope every one of us need. And that's why this hope, Krishna says to Arjun, Arjun, you declare this. This is the ultimate hope, which everyone wants. And if this hope is given, anybody can do devotional service. That fear is gone. That's why this hope is so important, and Krishna emphasizes on this so much. So, in this path of devotional service, Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto says, it is so safe and secure, one can close his eyes and run with full speed. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If you have any small question or any comments, Gaurang Priya Prabhu, Jai Sachinandan Prabhu, Rival Prabhuji, any comments, any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.